Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. Kicking off 60 minutes of Penn State football talk here. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle coming to you once again from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Start things off here with some recruiting. Basically, in the 2021 recruiting class, what does Penn State need to happen? Greg, what do you want to see them get done in this class? There are a few ways to go with this, including positions that need to be filled, where reinforcements are needed, what the numbers are, some of these five stars that are on the board, how important are they to the structure of Penn State's class. So we'll get into all that. We started off a couple of days ago looking at three guys off the radar for 2020. On the offensive side of the ball, who we think might grow into bigger roles. We'll do the same thing now on the defensive side of the ball. In other words, guys who need to step into bigger roles. Ask Greg, we'll do that coming up in just a bit, and we'll talk Penn State wrestling. Jacob Ferriott from the Daily Collegian will join us to talk about Penn State's win over American and starting to get positioned now for the Big Ten tournament. This is where Penn State has thrived so often in the past. Are we going to see the best version of Kale Sanderson's team coming up? That's the hope, and that's what they've shown quite often. So let's start off with the 2021 recruiting class. Three commitments on the board so far. That's light when it comes to nationally. I believe last time I looked, they were around number 30 in the country, just for what that's worth from a ranking standpoint. But there's also a real sense in this class like it could be special. We said the same thing about 2020 then as well, that it could be the most special class of the James Franklin era. I think it has some of the elements now. The question is, I think, how badly does Penn State need these sort of five stars, high four stars to make that happen?
Barry, so you look at the target board right now, and this has a similar feeling to the last cycle where there's a bunch of five stars in the region and some guys out of the region that are top targets that are high four stars or five stars. And we assumed the class of 2020 was going to be a program-changing one for Penn State, which it still could very well be. But, we thought Brian Bresee, the number one player in the country defensive end, might be in this group. He was to Clemson. Julian Fleming, obviously, we all know the story there, the five-star receiver going to Ohio State. And, they missed out on some other highly ranked guys as well. So the key to me now is you have a bigger pool of that kind of player to pull from at this point in time, if that makes sense. You start the list, Tony Grimes, five-star corner out of Virginia. Caleb Williams, a five-star quarterback out of D.C. You have Nolan Rucci, of course, local here, five-star out of Warwick and Lititz, Pennsylvania. There's a running back in the pitcher, Travion Henderson, who's a five-star out of Virginia as well. Obviously, Penn State's done well, not just recruiting Virginia running backs, but recruiting five-star Virginia running backs, so they could certainly have a shot there. And then you have some guys that are on the cusp of that five-star conversation, and that's the Landon Tangwalls of the world. He's, of course, the four-star offensive tackle out of Maryland. Derek Davis Jr. is the four-star corner safety out of Gateway out in Monroeville, out towards Pittsburgh. I wouldn't put Dante Thornton, the one-time Penn State commit, now uncommitted, assessing his options. He's from Baltimore. I wouldn't put him out of the question to not only get a fifth star, but also come back to Penn State. And then there's some other guys in that high four-star conversation, too. So
it's a deep pool.
The board is as full as it can be, not only in the talent sense, but also in the sense that, there's a lot of panic I'm sensing within the Penn State fan base, some of our listeners, I'm sure, as well, when it comes to, well, they only have X number of commitments and they should have Y number of commitments, and what's going on, what's the hold up, what's the issue. And I always go back to something Andy Frank said very early during his time here. I believe he said this in 2015, after a National Signing Day news conference. He said, we look at it like this. If all of our guys are still on the board, then we're not going to panic. If all of our top targets are still uncommitted, we're not going to go offer a bunch of new guys and try and look for plan B and plan C and plan D, because plan A is still there to be executed. And while a couple of guys that are in that kind of conversation have committed elsewhere, for the most part, Dustin, you look across the position group, offense to defense, quarterback to safety, I mean, they have most of who they want still available. And those are the top of the line plan A. Take them if they wanted to commit yesterday, tomorrow, or next Tuesday, next a couple months from now, a year from now, whatever it might. I guess a year from now wouldn't really work, but you know, almost a year from now. And so I don't think there's any reason to panic. I think the new recruiting rules have drastically changed when most commitments happen. Don't get me wrong, there's a few that pop up here in February, but a Monday used to be pretty busy, thinking all the way back to when Ryan Bates and Jarvis Miller committed to Penn State during a hockey game in February. The new dead period doesn't really allow for that anymore. Again, some guys want to commit, but for the most part, if you're not committed already, you're going to wait. You're going to take spring practice visits. You're going to take your spring and summer winter official visits if you want a couple visits then. And the earliest I think these guys are going to start deciding now is right around the blue-white game, so mid-April, and that window probably stays open until, you know, late June, and then it closes again till either the start of the season, like right around, you know, late July, early August, or at that point guys might just wait till December.
I think to your point, before the recruiting calendar changed, this is James Franklin's, what, seventh full recruiting cycle. Yep. I don't include 2014 because that was just a 3-week sprint or whatever to the finish line. Seventh full recruiting calendar. I feel like every one of the seven has gone differently. Some have there's been storming out of the gates and limped to the finish line, like the 2016 class, I believe. There was staff turnover late in that season and late in the 2015 season. And that had this whole air of uncertainty, and you had guys decommitting. They had to work very, very hard to hold on to Miles Sanders in that class, for example. But every class has been a little different. Some have been fast starts. Some have been slow starts. Some that, you know, the blue-white game has been a big commitment weekend. Some not really so much. So I don't know that you can conclude anything about number of commitments, but it just I get the natural sort of inclination to get into panic mode and think, you know, and fear the worst. But I mean, isn't this one part of James Franklin's coaching that you shouldn't panic about, right? I mean, it's not that he's done a bad job on other fronts, but like the recruiting, I mean, that's just kind of that's his thing. And I don't think there's ever been a reason to panic. The closest thing I can remember, like I said, is the end of that 2015 season, going into trying to put a bow on that 2016 class. That was a uncertain time. But otherwise, I don't know. I mean, they just kind of keep doing their thing. And to your other point, I'm not star ratings aren't perfect. And there's a lot of flaws, and there's a lot of 3 stars who play like 5 stars, and a lot of 5 stars who don't do anything and all that. But in general, the high 4 stars and the 5 stars are guys who have both elite physical ability and football skill that's proven, that has fewer question marks about what they can develop into. And what Penn State's 2020 class was, to me, was a whole lot of guys who the physical ability wasn't a big question mark, but what it's going to take for them to get to that upside, there's a bigger journey ahead for all of them. I personally theorize and believe that Penn State, that they embraced that. They went with the physical skill. They don't need guys who are going to be factors in 2020 or even 2021 as much. So they are okay with the idea of taking their time and developing them. I'm good with that. But in the 2021 class, I want to see fewer projects and more sure things. That can be 4 stars, that can be 5 stars, whatever. But I want to see guys who are closer to their upside and require less projection.
I think that's a completely fair way of looking at it. I mean, to me, the biggest issue Penn State runs into as it continues its quest to reach or exceed the roster talent that is at a place like Ohio State, a Clemson, an Alabama, a Georgia, an Oklahoma, pick your favorite college football playoff contender, Dustin, is that they have been fairly good about getting more 4 and 5s and 3-star players. And as we've always talked about on this show, you know, that blue chip ratio that comes from Bud Connolly, now of ESPN, really does say that, look, if you don't consistently have more than 4 and 5 stars on your roster than you have 3 and 4, then you are probably not in contention for the college football playoff, or and likely not for a conference title either. So I think that is where Penn State must take the next step, not just developing the 3-star guys of the world like Trace McSorley, like some of these other guys who have turned into better players than their high school evaluations maybe indicated that they would, but it's time to start getting the hammers that come out of high school and, you know, for every, I get it, for every Justin Shorter and Ricky Slade, you know, there's two other five stars somewhere else that shine. And there's a couple examples in each of those guys' class where, you know, so I get it that if you're a little bit skeptical of the star system, it makes sense. But two guys, you know, missing out on 2 5 stars is going to happen, but you're going to hit on 6 of those guys if you get 8, I think, in most years. So they have to get to the point now where they're bringing in guys who don't need 2 to 3 years to develop, who can challenge for playing time right away, and who can really, you know, push the program forward in a way that it needs to. Because again, every single time they take the field, you know, Dustin, they are going to be going up against programs that not only have, I put a target on Penn State's back, but also ones that in some cases will be more talented than them still, even though James Franklin's recruited so well. So this is the year for me. You look at the target board, we rattled off some of the names before. There's so many more we could get to. They have so many 4-star talents on their high interest offer board right now that they have to land at least half of them, if not 75%.
What do you make, maybe the final thing here, of Penn State, whether it's a need or whether it be a luxury that could push them beyond, but the idea of landing a 5-star quarterback? They were so close on the Justin Fields front. Ultimately, that was a nearly impossible pull from Georgia, all those things as he really heated up. But does Penn State need, or a guy like Caleb Williams, how important is it for maybe to go from getting these high 3 stars and low 4 stars at the position to getting a true blue, big time electric talent like a Caleb Williams?
So I don't want to minimize what getting a 5-star recruit would mean, especially at that position, because obviously there is there's a lot of merit to say that 5-star quarterbacks generally do pretty good things for your program and generally find their way into the Heisman conversation. Of course, there's
especially guys who are dual threats who can do a lot of different things. Not like Anthony Morelli is a different 5-star than Caleb Williams, right, or Justin Fields.
Yeah, no question about it. And I do think that, you know, there's something to be said about the fact that, yes, that, you know, of course there's 5-star quarterback examples that don't work out. But, you know, if you don't get one of those guys, I think you've got to take some comfort. And maybe it's looking at it from a perspective that is a little bit too rosy. But, you know, Tanner Morgan beat the heck out of Penn State's defense in Kirk Soraka's offense. And guess what? He was a 3-star recruit, the number 44 quarterback in the class of 2017. So I don't think it's crazy to think you can win with this offense with
Joe
a 3-star.
Burrow wasn't can't miss either.
Yeah, so but you want the 5-star. No doubt it could change things drastically.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll move on looking at 2020. 3 off-the-radar defensive players to watch in 2020. Stick around.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
The Blue White game is coming soon, and GoPSURV.com has you covered with their best deals ever. RVs for the weekend starting at just $500. Even better, whatever you spend on the spring game can be used as a credit for any game in the fall. Spend the weekend in a luxury RV. Enjoy 409 Tailgate Club Barbecue and a free bus ride to and from the stadium. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 800-519-8467 for all the details.